Happy New Year, basketball gamers, and welcome to episode number 231 of the NLSC podcast. We are back on the air after taking a little bit of a break for the holiday season. We hope you had a great holiday season, Christmas and New Year's. We certainly did, but we're glad to be back on the air talking about our favourite subjects, basketball video games, and a little bit of basketball as well. I'm Andrew, with you as always. With me as always is Ben. You may also know him in the forum as Arcane. Hello, Ben.
Hey, everyone. Good to be back. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, or Happy Holidays for those who might prefer.
And we are joined this week by Kenny.
Hey everyone, happy holidays, and hope everyone's had a good 2018 so far. Still feels weird saying 2018, but just got to get used to it, I guess.
Feels kind of scary knowing how close it is to 2020, actually.
Yeah.
Kanye West presidency, I mean.
Apparently so, we're waiting with bated breath, I guess, for that particular one. Nevertheless, we are here to talk about, as I said, our favourite subjects, basketball video games, bit of basketball gaming news over the weeks that we were on hiatus, both NBA Live 18 and NBA 2K18 dropping patches and various updates, some other news here and there as well, and a little bit of NBA stuff to talk about towards the end of the show. But we will start off with some NBA Live 18 news, and as well as being on sale for, I think it was $9.89 in the USPSN store, Ben?
Yeah, and I think it also became that price on Xbox as well. So.
That's right. They did have the Xbox sale as well. So it was on sale over the holiday season. Currently a sale going on here in Australia at the moment. I think it's reduced at least, $15, $20 something at the moment. And people have been picking it up. And they've also been doing some Live Strike events, which the opportunity to get some of the swag that people may have missed out on from the Battlefront, original live events with Battlefront to... Bathing Ape, Pink Dolphin, and what was the other one? Undefeated.
Undefeated, yep.
So that gear has been up for grabs again with various live events that are constantly being pushed through. People have been enjoying them. And they've actually had some clothing giveaways, Ben. They've actually given away real swag to people who got the gear in-game and dressed up their player in, this is not a Barbie game, but nevertheless, they dressed up their players with the gear they got in game and submitted their screenshots to the sweepstakes and actually won some real gear, which people have actually been getting. We've seen it on Twitter, and yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, it didn't actually cost them any VC, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, not even RP, because it comes from the loot crates, the reward crates. Yeah. So yeah, it was.
Or even real currency, and all they had to do was just post the screenshot. So yeah, that was really cool.
Just a bit of bandwidth, I guess, at the end of the day.
So. Yeah. So that was a really cool competition. And I think there was about 10 winners from memory.
Hmm. And they've been posting them on Twitter, obviously generating a lot of excitement for the game. And we're seeing a lot of positivity for the game. We've talked about that from our perspective in previous shows, but we've also touched on the community response as well, but it really seems to be this optimism for NBA Live 18 and moving forward to NBA Live 19 as well. People enjoying the game as is, and just feeling that it is taking those steps forward and that it has taken those steps forward since launch. And I know you've made some comments about that on Twitter yourself, Kenny, how you felt the game has really improved.
Yeah, it's definitely improved out of sight since the demo, and I think one thing that I find really enjoyable about NBA Live 18 is how playable it is from the broadcast camera. I know that was something that I posted, I think it was yesterday, but the fact that you can play on the broadcast camera and not have to worry about body steals and, the dribbling mechanics are really good in NBA Live as well, so I think that's something very positive about the gameplay. And yeah, it's just, even the dunking animations are looking better now. Like, they seem to look more contextual and not kind of like, when you get like those really crazy fast dunks that come off a slow dribble or even slow dunks off a fast dribble or something like that. So it's looking really good. It's playing really well, and I'm pretty happy with my choice this year.
Absolutely. And of course, we haven't had you on for a few shows now. Just before we wrapped for the holidays and took our hiatus, of course, roster editing was added to the game in patch, was it 1.08, added the roster editing just before the holidays.
The 3-on-3, on the 3-on-3, I don't think we had you on when that was announced. I can't just in case. So,
No, it would have been... I don't think we did either. So they've been adding all this content to the game post-release. It's and it's something you just wouldn't see back in the day.
Absolutely not. And it's quite amazing what they are able to implement mid-life cycle, I suppose. Because, yeah, back about 10 years ago, you wouldn't see any real major additions made to, like, gameplay modes, just, like, tweaks and stuff like that mainly. But, yeah, now they're adding, like, additional modes and new items and stuff like that. It's quite amazing. And I think, you know, one of the other main points to bring up is that it's not making the game any worse. Mm. Like, we've seen patches over the last few years that, you know, you could debate whether it's made the game better or worse. Whereas with NBA Live 18, I think all the updates that they've brought have improved the game, and that's definitely a positive.
And you brought that up as well, Ben, that not only the gameplay improvements, but also not breaking anything technically-wise, which is quite remarkable with a patch for any game these days. They've had a really good track record with not actually breaking anything, let alone tweaking the gameplay in a bad way, but not introducing a game-breaking bug. There's been a couple of issues which they've then pushed through hotfixes for, but generally speaking, they've actually done a pretty good job of the updates coming through quite seamlessly.
Yeah, I mean, there just seems to be a little bit more polish with it and the quality of it as well. So, you know, you're going to give hats off to the team for that aspect of it, that, you know, that for the amount of work that they've done post-release to the quality of the patchwork, you know, that they haven't fumbled a step in a lot of ways in any way in regards to that. So they've really put working hard and keeping the game and improving it so much. So yeah, it's not that frustration of, oh crap, what did the patch break this time element. So that's been really good to see and experience as well.
And, you know, Kenny, you brought up the patches going back 10 years or so, or even less. You know, I think NBA Live 10 is a great example. You know, I think all three of us have been on record saying that second patch kind of messed the game up with especially the alley-oops, the slow-motion alley-oops that would often go to the perimeter and things like that. And of course, back in the day, you'd maybe get one or two patches that fixed somewhere between 10 and 15 things between them, and that was it. And if the last patch didn't fix everything, well, you kind of had to wait till next year. And of course, with Live 10, there was no next year for quite a few years. So, yeah, the fact that they continue to push through the updates, I know there's issues with day one patches and the number of patches and everything, but I do like the post-release support. And if they can push through this new content as they've done, you know, you have to wonder what's next. I asked that in my Monday tip-off, just tip-off the year, actually. You know, what else could Live add? You know, could we see something else big added to the game?
I think one other thing to add as well, as far as the patches are concerned, they are nowhere near the size of the 2K ones. I think the largest one would have been, what, 2 gig or something, maybe?
I think the roster-adding one was about 5 gig.
Yeah, 5. That's still not the size of the ones that we got for NBA 2K17.
No.
And those were almost weekly, like, with their frequency. So, you know, one 5 gig patch that gives you a new feature, I can cop that. Like, that's fine. Whereas, like, all the other patches, they don't seem to be as heavy on the bandwidth, I guess. It's really kind of refreshing.
There does seem to be an issue where 2K's patches are cumulative, but Live seems to be able to not have to do that. And yeah, some of their patches that they've pushed through that haven't been as big content-wise have been smaller as a result. So, that has definitely been refreshing, rather than pushing through a 7-gig patch every couple of weeks, as was the case last year with 2K17, as you said. So, no, that has been great. And, of course, does seem to be a console issue, because it should note that the latest patch for, I think, for 2K18 on PC was, was, I think, about 100 meg, if that, as opposed to the 5 gig on PS4. So it does seem to be a console issue, but only with 2K games.
Yeah, well, even still, like I said, you know, the GTA patches, they seem to just sort of, you're not constantly downloading, like, 7 or 8 gigs in that sense. You're mainly just adding like another 1, maybe 2 gigs, depending on the amount of content to it. So it doesn't seem to be like they seem to have a way of doing it without it being like what 2K have done in that sort of sense. So I don't know. It's yeah, maybe there's something in like that their coders haven't figured out. I'm not sure. Maybe it's just playing a safe bet in that sort of sense that they keep everything cumulative and all that. But I didn't pronounce that right. That yeah, if they kept it all together and that sort of sense. So
it,
I don't know. But,
yeah, it could be. But the main thing is that Live is adding this new content and addressing those issues. The game, as Kenny said, has been getting better since launch. You know, like even the demo was pushing through new updates when it was freshly out.
Yeah. Yeah, I was actually tempted the other day to test and see if, like, because I still got the demo on my PS4,
yep.
Whether it was worth sort of seeing if I started that up, whether that would actually update as well. Because I know when I tested it last time, yeah, that the demo did receive a couple updates, so yeah.
And you know, there are still people saying that it's garbage and there's nothing good about it. I tend to think those people haven't played the game at all, because most people who have played the game say that it is, at the very least, an improvement on its predecessors with some very promising features, Kenny. But a lot of people are really enjoying the game, us included, as I said. It's turned out quite solid, that you can be optimistic for the future, seeing what they've done over the past 24 months.
Absolutely, and I think it's been the best NBA Live game since, I guess, the launch of NBA Live 10. I mean, the second patch did kind of ruin that game, but when it came out of the box, it was one of the best, I think, in years. So,
yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, my favorite is probably still 06 for the PC, just for the overall quality and depth of that product. But, yeah, this is definitely it's easily the best on the current generation, which I guess isn't saying much in some respects, but it's not... It is the best by default, but it's not, if that makes sense. It's a culmination of building on those previous years and looking at where they went wrong and continuing to listen to gamer feedback. And it's more than any game since the reboot, it's pushed the game in the right direction. It shows that it's headed in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And if I can add, like, when I came away from the trip in May, I you know, how positive I was from the experience that I had when I was playing it those few days. And, you know, obviously, I hinted at things to you guys in terms of how much I enjoyed it and all that stuff and how fun it felt. Obviously, I couldn't say a lot in terms of, like, what was in it and all that stuff, what they'd been working on and that. But, you know, from what I had said, like, it had alluded to and all that, like, how fun the experience was and that I feel confident in that I was honest about that and wanted to, you know, have you guys had that same experience and that I felt like when I walked away from, or when I came back from the event, you know, do you think that I was right or justified in saying what I said in those,
yeah,
in those instances?
I can see why you had that, because it definitely is better than Live 16. So... And a significant improvement on the sticks and obviously what they've added with the one and everything, and then to put everything else that they've added post-release since then, it is definitely, you know, it's on the right track, and it is a much better game. And, yeah, again, optimism is the key word here.
Yeah, and again, sort of something what you said with post-release stuff, like, I also felt optimistic about what the team was doing and how hard they were working on it. And, you know, that you could see a lot of the polish and how determined they were. Like, one of the days we got to sort of go around, well, actually on two of the days we got to go around and, you know, meet some of the staff, and, you know, they showed us what they were working on. In one case, you know, in a few instances, they had showed us what they'd, you know, what was, you know, what was looking to come out around that, you know, that sort of early Q1 2017 release and all that stuff, and then what they showed us where they're up to now, and in that few short months, you know, you can see a dramatic improvement in terms of like a lot of polish in the quality, even like in the animation stuff in itself. You know, you can see that they put like all this extra work in, and it was, I think it did pay off in the long run that they did decide, okay, let's not worry about this Q1 release, let's just get it ready for 18 instead. And yeah, and that for me was like a massive positive in terms of, you really saw the improvement and how far it's come along, even within those few months. So yeah, I was really happy with what I saw in terms of not just actually playing the game, but seeing what the team was doing and where they were trying to go with the game. So yeah.
And it remains to be seen what they add in the future. I don't know how big they can really, after adding roster editing and 3v3, who knows how big of a feature they can add in the near future. Of course, pre-production has started on NBA Live 19, and that's going to be a priority to some extent, so who knows. But I have seen some speculation about All-Star Weekend, which would be amazing if they did. That's just based on a couple of developers tweeting out pictures of Live 2005's menu. I don't know about that. I think that is going to be a Live 19 thing. Of course, I did say that about roster editing as well, but that's something I'd love to see back in the game.
Yeah, you know, I'm the same. You know, for me, anything that they add is obviously like extra cherries on top of it. So,
I mean, if nothing else, I think we can obviously see more live events and live Ultimate Team content. But yeah. And as long as there's new content coming in to keep people interested throughout the rest of the year until Live 19 comes out, you know, that's basically the goal here, I guess.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, we can all have like little small like wish lists of things that, you know, that they could possibly add. I mean, for what they've done, you can't entirely rule out that maybe they could actually implement a few things. And again, depending on, you know, workloads and what they're now really focusing more, but it'd be good. Like, you know, for me, like, well, maybe one small thing would be, well, maybe consider a small thing is just a few face sculpting options and all that stuff for the creator player and roster editing feature and all that stuff. You know, if they implemented that, or maybe the ability to be actually share the rosters, you know, anything like that would again just, you know, take the game to the next level in terms of what they've done since release. And yeah, so that's what I'd be optimistic and sort of see if they could do anything like that.
And if not, definitely things that we're passing along to them for NBA Live 19. Now, They are adding new content, obviously, the live events, the roster updates, of course, the live Ultimate Team content, the challenges and new cards that are coming out. We'll talk about that a little bit later on as well, I'm sure. But something they did add very recently is the City Edition uniforms, which are officially unveiled by Nike. They are the fourth edition of the new Nike uniforms for this year, I guess a secondary alternate uniform based on something to do with the city's identity, something local. Like, for example, the Utah Jazz have eschewed their traditional color scheme to have something that really represents the landscape and of Utah. And you were talking before, Ben, when we were talking about it, Memphis doing some cool stuff with theirs as far as representing civil rights and whatnot.
Yeah, basically it references the 1968 Memphis sanitation workers strike and the upcoming 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's assassination. So in terms of its cultural significance, and yes, it might be one of the most simplistic designs, but the representation and what it's standing for me is a massive one. So I mean, I'd be inclined to get that jersey just because of the messaging behind it. So yeah.
And Kenny, you and I, we played a game of Live 18 against each other in the online head-to-head yesterday, or last night, I guess the earliest hours of the morning, perhaps. And I used the Chicago Clippers jersey, the city jersey. And it's kind of remind. Well, I mean, it's like the old Chicago script, the Jordan rookie jerseys, kind of, but it is with some of the color schemes, which, as you noted, Ben, is from the state flag. But it is kind of similar to the Clippers color scheme. And in some of their jerseys, but nevertheless. But the Nuggets jersey, I do like their city jersey. It's kind of got a cool, just down the shorts and everything, just a cool design, and basically.
Yeah, I really like the Nuggets design. I also really enjoy the Washington one as well. The fact that it says District of Columbia, I thought that was a really nice touch. And God, as much as I hate to say it, I really like the Lakers one as well. I guess I just like the kind of black, and it reminds me of Park After Dark, actually. I think that might be why I like it. I don't know. Maybe getting some 2K nostalgia from it.
it's kind of like the Hollywood Knights jersey, I think, that they had.
Yeah.
And it's,
yeah, I think that's probably a more accurate description.
I mean, black's a classic look, I guess, and it's different for them. Or, I mean, they have had that one before, but it is slightly different. Utah's I do think is good. I like the Pistons, the new take on the Motor City jersey is pretty cool as well. I agree in the Wizards is one. The Magic's is one that stands out to me as well, because it's kind of gaudy, but it also reminds me of a 90s jersey, so I kind of like it for that respect as well.
I mean, I like the Philadelphia one as well. Like the sort of off-white color, it's inspired by the and even the script writing is inspired by the Declaration of Independence, which is obviously a major thing for where it was signed in Philadelphia, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's
that significance in that sense in itself was a big a nice little touch in that. So
many nice tributes to the. To the city or the state, the location of the team that they've paid tribute to, and little details like that. There's ones that I don't like as much. I know you guys are not really fans of the Mavericks jersey, the black Mavericks jersey, and it's kind of plain. I agree, it's not sort of that inspirational really. The Blazers kind of looks like a bootleg to me, without some of the outlines. Like again, it's just a plain black one. And of course the Thunder is. Kind of very typically Thunder, to be honest to me, but
yeah. I can agree with those. Like the Rip City one, the sort of pinwheel thing that has on the side, obviously reflecting the logo element, is pretty cool, but yeah, I'm not a big fan of player, but it reflects part of the it's part of like the look from one of their former coaches, Dr. Jack Ramsey, by the looks of it, is the coach that it's honoring in that sense.
The man who took Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Sorry, Dr. Jack. It's just one of those. It's one of those historical facts that sadly we've been in love with. I think
the Kings. I like the Kings' design. It's just the number on the front is just way too small.
Mm.
So.
Did we mention the Bucks jersey? Because you guys brought that up to me before we started recording.
Bucks jersey. The Bucks jersey was really good. I knew there was one I missed out on, and it was definitely the Bucks jersey. I definitely agree with the Philadelphia one. I think that's a very nice, clean design. As far as ones that I didn't like, I definitely agree with the OKC and the Dallas ones, as we discussed like pre-show. But... a couple of other ones I wasn't particularly keen on were Cleveland's one, the one that just says the land, which, I mean, it's whatever. I find it's pretty plain. And the other one I wasn't too keen on was the Raptors one, the one that says the north. So,
I'm not a fan of that. The Brooklyn one's pretty cool with the inspiration for the Brooklyn Bridge, so, and how it has like the wires and stuff like that as well. And obviously the Knicks one in regards to the New York Fire Department, which is obviously, a big tribute to, I guess, 9/11.
The surprise of 9/11, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so the Celtics one is cool in how it has, like, the parquet floor on it, but for me, the grey, I like the Celtics green, gold, and white uniform, like the St. Patty's Day one, one of my favourite Celtics.
And overall, they are pretty interesting concepts, to use our favorite word. That they've done a good job. I mean, Utah, I think, is definitely stands out with what they've done with the gradient there as well. You know, I'm not a big fan of the Jazz or anything. And my favorite Jazz uniform is actually one that people seem to hate, that mountain design. People seem to have really turned on, like a lot of designs from the 90s, actually. But no, I do think that's pretty cool, and the fact that they have. There's a lot of thinking outside the box, basically, and really, going with the creativity, because these are secondary alternates, so they've kind of taken some liberties, and it has worked out in some cases.
Yeah, I think just a few, just be a minor tweak, or, in a case of it's like an upcoming rebranding, I can see why they might not hold on like for too much longer and all that stuff. So, but yeah, I think most of them were really good. I think with the Cleveland one. Yeah, the element of the land, the design of the side paneling is not too bad, but yeah, I think just not a big fan of the term the land. and probably even like the number on the font, or the font for the numbers, for both the all the rebranding that they've done. I sort of, I know it kind of looks not as well balanced as I would, as a font I would have chosen in all that sort of sense. I think that sort of kills element of the Cleveland branding in that sense for me.
And interestingly, they were actually, some of these designs were leaked by 2K originally, but actually they were in NBA Live 18 first. They were added to 2K18, I think, within 24 hours as well. But Live 18 did add them in the post in the update with the rosters, etc. So that was cool to see them revealed in both games. One thing about Live's jerseys, because at launch Live just had the association and the icon jerseys, and they've done just since then done the statement and the classic, and now the city jerseys. I would like to see some more retros in Live. Like, I know they've got the current the current selection for the 2018 season, but Kenny, I kind of miss having those extra jerseys, the throwbacks from a long time ago, and that wide selection of throwbacks from several seasons to have for Dynasty mode when franchise mode is again now, or even just other modes play now, or indeed Ultimate Team, just having that wider selection of jerseys beyond the 2018 range.
Yeah, that was definitely. It was fun back in the day switching up the jerseys and kind of like having an entire month of the season dedicated to retro. And it's kind of, I don't know, I guess teams like the New Orleans Pelicans kind of throw a bit of a monkey wrench into that idea. But I think you could still do it I guess if you were playing as an Eastern Conference team, you could just choose a month where you're not playing the New Orleans Pelicans. But yeah, I definitely do miss that amount of choice, and maybe even going to an older jersey that you prefer more, because there definitely are a few designs in the NBA that you prefer the retro version of. I think if I was playing as the Golden State Warriors, I'd probably be playing with their 90s jersey, because that was my favorite one. Mm-hmm. So that would be one example.
Just one of those things, like a Legends pool and the Decade All-Stars, I'd love to see back as extra content in Live, basically.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, because it was, new contract and all that stuff, so who knows, maybe next year they might add it in.
It could be, but 2K has them, so it's hard to say from a legal standpoint, but that is a possibility as well, absolutely. So those updates came through for both Live 18 and 2K18, as I said. Both games receiving post-release content and also patches. A couple of new patches came through for 2K18 over the holiday season as well, Ben. We know the pain of that, of course. Kenny, you were spared the 10 gigs or so of downloads that came with those two updates. They released a few bugs, including the T-shirt. They updated the T-shirt kiosk in the neighborhood, the custom T-shirts. Updated the courts for the Blazers and the Spurs. Some various hairstyles, including Lonzo Ball's new shorter look, fixed a bug with the number of timeouts displayed, correct amount of VC should now be displayed at the end of the anti-up games, which we don't really play ourselves, fixed a hang that could occur in my team with the Spanish commentary enabled. Of course, we play with the English commentary, so I guess we never noticed that ourselves. My player theme song will now play during the starting lineup, so I know you're excited about that one, Ben.
Well, that was a song that I did like and I did choose, and yeah, it didn't really show. So, and I think that's been an issue that it also had in previous TKs, like even 16 or 17. I think that occasionally did happen as well. So, it seems to be a recurring little one that they have to constantly fix.
Mm. Fix an issue with players 96 overall or higher would hang when the opposing team quits out of an active pro-am team arena game. Losing a walk-on game now return to the front of the walk-on building rather than the starting spawn point in the neighborhood. Defensive settings panel for OTFC will now function for AI players in prime games, and fix an issue in MyGM My League where a trade that sent two-way players to a team whose roster is full can result in one or more of those players disappearing from the league. So, but basically, technical issues. They haven't really touched gameplay, which is a mixed bag. In one case, it's a consistent game this year as opposed to last year. On the other hand, there are definitely things that need to be addressed. Then patch 108 came through. No notes for that one. I think it was basically a hotfix for that issue where the my players reverted to the default brown shirt. I think that was an issue, that one of the issues they fixed. So pretty much a hotfix for a couple of issues there. But some technical issues in 1.07, some new artwork, of course. And in addition to 1.08, some new historical plays were added. including Rashad Lewis to the all-time Thunder because of his tenure with the Sonics, as well as the all-time Magic, although he's on the inactive roster in the all-time Magic, so even though he's one of the top-rated players in the team, you can't play with him online. So that's kind of a kind of an oversight there. Kevin Martin's now on the all-time Kings, and Donyell Marshall's been added to the 2007 Cleveland Cavaliers. So, yeah, so they've added some players that they've got under contract, and they've done that before. I think Lafonso Ellis was added to the Nuggets in NBA 2K12 before release. Dr. J was added in NBA 2K14 post-release, and of course Steve Nash last year in 2K17. So if they do come to terms with people after the retired players, I should say, after the game is launched, they have added them. So that's kind of cool to see, Ben.
Yeah, I think was it 1.7 supposed to have the Jordan tongue fix, and then it didn't quite fix. So
that was 106 also, messed up the tongue. Now 108's kind of fixed it.
Fixed it. Yep. Okay. And yeah, I still think the T-shirt creator kiosk thing needs a little bit of work. There's a few little things in regards to that. Yes. Okay. It's working and you can create new shirts, but there's a few things that are kind of missing from it. There's no search function anymore, so you can't look for users to that you might like, or creators and stuff that you might have liked their stuff to vote for.
Because I was going to go and see if yours were up there so I could vote for them, and then, oh, no search function. That's weird.
Yeah.
So they've changed the voting now so that it's not top 100, it's top five vote getters each week, isn't it?
Yeah, and the votes continue on, like they're cumulative, that I struggled with earlier. Yep. What's good is you can actually vote. If there's a shirt you really like, you can vote pretty much every day for it, kind of thing. So,
stuff the ballot box, as it were.
Stuff
the kiosk.
So the only other thing, like, even when you've created a shirt, like for me personally, like I've had, before the kiosk thing went down, I had about 6 shirts that were in the approval process, so they've made the 100 votes. And when I go to the kiosk thing now, it shows the 3 previous shirts that I created that were the first 3 that were going in the approval process, but I can't tell if they've been submitted for design or if they're past the voting stage. The only options that I have is delete, and I don't want to do that in case that it's also gets a message, you know, stating that, you know, things in your closet, like, you know, if you delete this, it'll delete from the voting as well as the closet, you know, if it's in your closet. So there's a few uncertainty sort of things in what to do with that sort of element. Like, do I attempt to delete it and start, like, if I want to create a new one, I can't even tell if I have to resubmit it because there's no option to submit if I have to go through that part again. So I think there's a couple of things that 2K could possibly fix up with regards to the kiosk a bit more, just, or even, you know, put a little bit of information out of how it's working now, or if it is working still, like, in that sort of sense. So yeah, that's one thing I hope still gets a fix or an explanation into it. So yeah, that's my little sort of, yeah. And yeah, it's kind of disappointing seeing, you know, only 5 shirts per week, you know, given how many shirts there are. You know, it would be nice to see at least 10 a week, so that way, you know, kind of speeds up the process.
I guess it's a result of the store being flooded with crap and also copyrighted material or things that they couldn't.
Well, the copyrighted ones are still getting.
That is true. They are still getting through. They haven't really filtered them out, and that one of that fake nude of Rachel that's somehow not been filtered out yet. So good job on on filtering the content, 2K, but somebody not doing their job on that one. But so it is a bit disappointing. But
that thought one did get through before the whole change and all that stuff. Yeah, so it doesn't kind of surprise me.
Kind of disrespectful in many respects, but they're not really filtering much in the way there. Which means your Live 18 shirt could get through if that's the good side there.
but I can't tell it, like you said, can't tell, it's in the, yeah, but, like it shows up in the things that I created, but I can't tell if they've need to go through the whole voting process again. So
they are free. The shirts are still free, which So it's these small gestures that they've made by reducing the haircut cost and the color cost and the beard cost and of course the shirts, which it's a drop in the bucket with some of our complaints about VC this year and the aggressive implementation of the in-game economy. But you know, I will give some credit where it's due. They have done that, so you can you can spend your VC on other things if you want to grind your way to the on the road to 99. But yeah, not a lot of other changes that we really noticed, I guess, with the gameplay and everything, which they have been very consistent about not tweaking it back and forth like they did last year, which is good, but at the same time, there's definitely issues that I wish they'd kind of fix.
Yeah, I think there's definitely probably, we'll say at least half a dozen to eight major things I think they should sort of focus on in terms of gameplay and improve. You know, and that could be the building block for, obviously, for 2K19. And again, you know, that's something that we've stressed that, you know, should be a polish year instead of, you know,
a bells and whistles year where they've really gone out, really gone out with the neighborhood and everything this year, which we've not, you know, we've spoken about that and given our thoughts on it many times, and we're not huge fans of what they've done with that concept. Definitely a polish year. But you know, as it stands, NBA 2K18 has been named Game Informer's Sports Game of the Year.
Yeah.
It's I don't know if you've read the comments on social media, Kenny, but a lot of fans not really agreeing with that.
I didn't expect them to agree with that, honestly. But, you know, I think the analogy I would make as far as this award is concerned, you remember when Kobe was winning all those all defensive first team awards late in his career just because of the fact that he was Kobe? I'm pretty sure 2K won this award because it's 2K, so.
Yeah, it does speak, I guess, to the lack of competition that they're comfortable giving a sports game of the year to. But of course, you noted, Ben, there's a Polygon article that's given some props to NBA Live 18 as far as, you know, not saying that it should be game of the year or that it's better than 2K18, but saying that it does deserve credit for what it's done.
Yeah, and I just posted the snippet to you guys in Skype in regards to what it says. You want me to read pretty much the, I guess, the top paragraph of it?
Sure.
Okay, so one of the because it was a discussion between the writers and the staff for Polygon. And so, you know, they'll generally ask each one, you know, what would be their choice for Game of the Year, and they kind of went through the debate element of it. And he goes, if we're talking about Sports Game of the Year in the Time Magazine style, not necessarily in an honorific, but the most impactful title, then we might be giving it to NBA Live 18. Yes, really. I do not suggest that it's close to 2K18 in depth of experience or overall quality, but its career mode, the one, is very good and smartly differentiated from my career in that player progression cannot be bought for real money. EA has had a rough year, especially with the whole Battlefront 2 bungle of loot boxes, but the company has generally done right by EA Sports customers. It has pulled off microtransactions in Ultimate Team without angering its core fan base and has kept loot boxes confined to that mode. It sounds ridiculous that this is something... this is a thing to celebrate, but for the last past decade, we all had said that if EA Sports is to make a competitive basketball game, basketball product, it needs to take on 2K's franchise's weaknesses, and it does have weaknesses. 2K's online stability and its intimidatingly deep and complicated gameplay have long presented opportunities for EA as a competitor. But EA Tiburon could get a pass on a straight. I couldn't get a pass straight in any mode to address in any mode to players address with them. Now it has the one further the one highlights how microtransactioned its competitor is. The rest of the game, it does look that it's kind of bare bones in that sense, but it does highlight some good things that they've done. And I don't even know if this is included the fact that, again, things that we said earlier in the podcast that, and the previous one is how they've included some extra modes and features and stuff like that since release. So, again, that's something also, like I said, to take into consideration.
Absolutely. I think that's a pretty fair assessment of the situation, that you at least have to give Live 18 credit for that. I don't know that you could call it Sports Game of the Year, because it does need more depth and it does need more polish. And you know, there were times that you and I were playing last night, Kenny, where we were having fun and seeing some great animations, but every so often we'd see something pretty ugly and we'd go, "Ugh, that needs to go. That one still needs to go."
Yeah, I think it's most of those post animations that have a problem at the moment. It's I think the dunks and the dribbling and all that looks great, but definitely some polish needed for those post animations.
Whereas running hooks and layups just don't look quite right. But you do sort of cringe when you see them. But absolutely, it is coming together. I mean, this is another situation where obviously people on social media were not particularly happy. Some defended the game, which is their right to do. If you really like 2K18, by all means, express a positive view. But and there are things about it that we like as well, as we've said in the past. But you know that they're touting the eights and the nines and all these positive reviews and game of the year and everything, and it's when the user score, when the user Metacritic score is 1.6. You know, there's such a distance. We've never seen a distance like this between the professional reviews and the user reviews of 2K before, and it's kind of, I don't want to say smug or arrogant, but it's kind of at least tone deaf about how upset people are about the game. And obviously, I know they want to tout their success and everything, but I think this is a situation where 2K probably should play it a little bit cooler, because people are not happy with them this year, like really, really not happy with them this year. So maybe, you know. I've never seen this much backlash to 2K before. I don't know about you guys, but there's always been a bit more positivity in people enjoying the game, even last year, which we had a lot of fun with the game last year, I think. It's fair to say. But
You know, we kind of got upset a few times when they over-tweaked a few things, and obviously last year, especially when we were playing Prime, and that when we experienced it. But overall, the game itself felt much better than what 2K18 has in a lot of ways. So yeah, I can agree. And even like, I think on Steam reviews and stuff like that have been pretty bad. Metacritic. It's probably not, it's definitely not been their best year in terms of things. Yes, again, we keep stressing they added a lot of good things into the game this year, but the few steps that they took backwards and the lack of polish, or just seems kind of rushed and all that stuff, it really brings it back a lot further in that sort of sense. So
I actually quite like your analogy, Kenny, about the Kobe treatment, and the fact that Kobe is the Legend Edition cover player this year as well. Oh no, he was last year, wasn't he? It's Shaq this year, isn't it?
He was 17.
There you go. I think maybe Shaq made a few All-Star teams beyond his All-Star teams as well. So
I think he did.
But you know, we've said it all apart from about that as well, about microtransactions and everything. You know, it's well documented. Well, we've spent hours, I guess, on talking about it on the podcast. But it is, I guess, maybe Sports Game of the Year by default, but certainly it's not as proud or a. It's with fans, it's not the hit that it was last year. So hopefully they can get back to basics to some extent in 2K19. I think that would be a great idea, as we've discussed in previous shows. The thing that concerns me is that they're obviously going full steam with things like the NBA 2K League. So they're expanding their branding beyond simply the core fan base, what they're interested in. And the NBA 2K League qualifying round is underway. One of the last patches, I think it was probably 1.08, added the count of how many wins you've got in January. To if you look at your VIP stats in NBA 2K18 under My Career, you'll see it'll keep track of the how many games you won. I'm glad they added that, Ben, for people who are doing that, because it's I didn't know whether they actually add a way for people to keep track. So that's handy that they've done that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a good little thing that they've added in that sort of sense. Obviously, given our record the other night, we won't be qualifying anytime soon.
No, we are no closer to qualifying to be part of the league. But on that note, would we actually have a chance, even if we were in the continental United States and in and winning more games? Because there was a video posted. I'm just seeing who it's by. Which channel It is. It's by Compton General on YouTube, basically talking about how the NBA 2K League is rigged. And what he means by that is that basically, apparently, that he's got through some sources who have found, who know people who are already on the teams in the NBA 2K League and that already have jersey designs and things like that. And they've already got their t-shirts or jerseys, whatever. Apparently, a lot of the slots on the teams are actually already filled by professional gamers who have been scouted by NBA 2K themselves, suggesting that there's not a lot of spots open for the people who are looking to win those 50 games to try out in January and then go through a qualifying round to do the next round of tryouts. Here's the thing. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, because they obviously want the NBA 2K League to be as good as it possibly can be, and to that end, you probably want people who are professional gamers and really want, not necessarily some of the cheeses that we run into in 2K Pro-Am. You want it to be as good as possible. I think the problem, Ben, is that there's no real transparency there, and maybe they're leading people on to think that there's all these slots up for grabs on the team, but they're already kind of filled, and if they're really just sort of trying to fill those last few spots with, oh, is there somebody we don't know about, you know, and grabbing an unknown from the community, which is basically how a professional team might do it. There might be the G League tryouts and things like that, but obviously teams are going to be scouting, you know, proper prospects, and it's the same for this esports, or I guess, you know, the NBA 2K League to use its proper name, but it's just there's no transparency there, and that is still a problem with 2K, that they're not really being forthcoming with that kind of information, that there's not really that many, or, you know, even just how many spots are up for grabs specifically.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of funny, like, that sort of description that you gave is pretty much the intro to 2K18's My Career Story, where DJ is like the scouted by someone at one of the street events and all that stuff, like by the NBA scout.
That's true. Yeah, that's event. Very true.
So that kind of comes full circle in that sense. But yeah, I think the way it is, the whole thing that the E-League thing was marketed could be regarded as misleading in that element that, yeah, there might only be, like, say, for the whole, it's 17 teams, isn't it, at this stage?
17 teams, yeah.
Yeah, you know, there might only be, like, 12 or 14 positions really sort of vacant, you know, it is kind of misleading in that element that, you know, that, because you'd be more assuming that, you know, maybe that there'd be, you know, more than three quarters of the amount of positions available and all that stuff. So instead of basically maybe like the last two spots, one or two spots for each team,
well,
and that
the,
sort of
the
thing.
The fact
so,
they haven't mentioned that any of the spots have been taken up by professional players who have been scouted by 2K, I guess, is, again, obvious that they do it, and I understand why, but the fact they haven't mentioned it at all, to my knowledge anyway. I mean, there's quite a few videos talking about it, looking at the related videos on this one, so it's certainly becoming common knowledge, but it's not really coming from 2K. It's the second-hand information, and that has been the problem, communication with 2K, that if it's not good news, if it's not something that makes the game look good, they just kind of skim over it. And I will give EA this, and maybe you could say because they're used to delivering bad news, but EA does not shy away from delivering bad news.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can look at when Sean O'Brien wasn't. He was open and honest about, you know, that there wouldn't be roster editing in, like, Live 16 when he had him on.
Yep.
You know, and a few other things like that. You know, he was brutally honest and about it and all that stuff. So, you know, he gave the information that consumers were wanting to know, and, you know, from there they can make a decision whether they still want into the game. But yeah, I think this is kind of a bit disappointing in that element that, again, it's just sort of, and again, sort of alluding to the whole t-shirt kiosk thing, you know, when they make drastic changes, you know, there's no communication element to it. So I think that's one thing. I know we could probably look at the fact that maybe they're a little bit shorthanded now with LDK, Chris Manning, LDK, moving on from 2K recently.
I think that caught us all by surprise.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe they're just trying to adjust and all that stuff over the last few weeks. But yeah, I think it's something that they still should have communicated a little bit better in that sort of sense. Say, look, you know, we'll have a... maybe this amount of spots open for each team in that. So welcome to try out and all that sort of element to it. So, but yeah, I agree that in what you were saying earlier as well, that teams would obviously likely look for some pro players in that sense. So it makes logical sense. But yeah, I think just in regards to the whole community outreach element, that yeah, I think there should have been better communication towards that part.
So goodwill would not go astray for 2K after everything that's happened in the past 4 or 5 months.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
And obviously, Kenny, I mean, there you were ready to buy 2K18 and buy some VC and grind up your player and join us to have all those victories and join the 2K league, and now those dreams have been dashed.
Absolutely. And, you know, I just when I thought there may have been a little shred of incentive to buy the game, nah. And now I'm devastated, obviously.
Sound it.
It's, yeah, I kind of can't believe that 2K wouldn't be transparent about something. Mm. It's a shock.
Absolutely. And you had $50 worth of microtransaction money to spend and burn on, well, you know, something else.
That's true. I don't know. Yeah. What am I going to do with that money? Jeez, I was going to spend it in 2K, wasn't I? Now I've got like that extra $50. I don't know. Maybe another game. Who knows?
You could buy two copies
Battlefront 2 loot crates. Yeah.
Buy two copies of Live 18 at the moment for that. So why not?
That's true. I can. I mean, I've already got the one, but it would be nice to have three. That'd be pretty cool.
If you do that, does it combine into this special new mode called the 3?
Yeah. And can you put all your three creative players and play 3-on-3 with yourself? It is one team.
There's a wish list item right there. Yeah, I think that's what the fuck. Well, one game that you... you've already got it, so I guess you wouldn't want to buy it either, is NBA Playgrounds. That's a game we've talked about quite often before. It's had a bit of a troubled release on the Switch. Now, we've of course been playing on the PS4, and it's also available on PC and Xbox One in addition to the Switch, but pushing through updates on the Switch has been a bit of a challenge for Saber, and they managed to push through one, but there were a lot of issues getting that extra content out there, so they've basically given up on doing that. They've scrapped trying to update the original version, and they've just released on January 4th the NBA Playgrounds Enhanced Edition, which is basically the regular game, or the original game, plus all the content that the other platforms have received so far, so over 100 new players, the gameplay enhancements like the shot meter and things like that, the new courts, and anything else that it... that's basically all the post-release content that the other platforms have received. And it's great to see that the Switch users have not been left out in the cold. I know there's been a lot of consternation about that and how the Switch has been waiting for the updates. But it just sounds like the Switch, Ben, has been really difficult for Saber to deal with as far as pushing those updates through.
Yeah. You know, we sort of alluded to, you know, like what 2K has done with the patches and stuff, like with PS4 and all that stuff, how it's like a cumulative one. So it seems like it's even more of a challenge than on that sort of console to get the patches done properly. So
I think it's size of the patches that they've mentioned with all the content.
There seems to be a real size restriction in terms of what they can do. I don't think it go max beyond like 2 gigs or something like that. I think from memory that I think
Playgrounds has pretty much doubled in size with all the content that's been pushed through, not including the paid DLC of the Hot and Frosty DLC. So yeah, that's definitely been an issue. It's Playgrounds, I still think is a reasonably solid game. I've had some fun with it. I have my issues with it, which I've talked about in previous shows, mainly the lack of offline content. I didn't like that they added some new content through DLC, paid DLC, when the game was pretty thin on content to begin with, but that is the way it goes. It does seem to have really dropped off in activity and in, like, people are really, we're all in the group on Facebook, the NBA Playgrounds group, and it's just not as active as it used to be. People have really lost interest, Kenny, in the game.
Yeah, and I think, I'm not sure what that comes down to. Maybe because there's two pretty solid games for the 2018 or 2017-2018 season. Mm. I don't know. I think maybe people were drawn to Playgrounds initially because it was like an alternative to 2K, whereas now the alternative is Live. So I think that might be an issue for them. And maybe they've just lost a bit of trust with the whole DLC thing. But yeah, I have noticed that there hasn't been as much activity in that group before. It was like a bunch of people complaining about dashboarding and stuff like that, and a whole bunch of terminology that I wouldn't know about. But yeah, it's it doesn't seem to have a lot of activity in it at the moment.
That's fair. Yeah. Obviously, Live and 2K are out now, which they weren't back in May. But you know, I do think that the lack of content in the game is an issue, because once you've played it and played through all the tournaments, unless you can get an online game, that's it. And if people stop playing online, then you stop getting a match if you're trying to play online, if you're one of the few. So, and I also think you are right about the lack of goodwill with the paid DLC, because they did kind of go back on what they appeared to promise as far as post-release content is concerned. They never said they wouldn't, but they kind of said that it was their goal not to. So I think it's definitely rubbed people the wrong way, and it's unfortunate. It feels like a bit of a missed opportunity with NBA Playgrounds, Ben. That it's it remains to be seen. I did also touch on this in my Monday tip off about basketball gaming questions for 2018, whether they will actually release a new version, because sometimes we've seen arcade games released back to back years, and they have mentioned that it might be trying to tip off a new series as opposed to just being a game that's constantly updated. And if they reach
a game for services, and that generally what that's called in that sort of sense.
Yeah. Yep. So basically, if they've reached the limit of what they can do with the initial launch of NBA Playgrounds, maybe it comes time to do that new version that has new and better mechanics and new content and better content.
Yeah, I think. Well, I'm hoping that that they don't give up entirely, and maybe that they are building a new version at this stage. So that's probably like the key focus of them. I'm sure they would have learned a lot, obviously, from from the what they've released so far, and things that they can work on and improve on if they were to do a second one. I'd like to see them have another go, and sort of see what they can do with it, and what in terms of extra modes and depth and all that stuff. So yeah, I think, if we had that third option and one that sort of that arcade option, especially, at this stage, we don't know if the EA is going to work on another Live or another, not another Live, but, another Street or an NBA Jam. So, it sort of gives that third option in that sense, in terms of, that sort of arcadey fun. So, I guess it's a moment of wait and see. They might release it, more closer to when Live and 19 and 2K19 come out, in that sense, more coincides with what the NBA wants for the games for the release time and all that stuff. So yeah, I'm hopeful that they do something new.
Yeah, I think there's always room for that arcade oriented basketball game on the market to have that alternative to the sim titles, and people call Live arcadey. As I've always said, I don't think any Live, except with the possible exception of 2003, has ever really been truly an arcade game. It's just maybe not been as realistic of a sim as we want to see. To me, an arcade game is like Playgrounds or Jam or Street, where you're flying high above the rim and there's minimal rules and things like that, where it's really not, where it's taking that real casual approach. And there's room for that on the market as the alternative to Live and 2K. I'm all for seeing them try to improve, and I hope they do take that feedback on board and move forward. But it is good that Switch users are able to have this new version. They're able to take the saves from the previous version into the new one, so it's just a matter of downloading the new version, which they get for free. If you've already bought it on Switch, you do get it for free. And actually, through January 18th, it is half price as well on the Switch. So there you go, Kenny. You can take that money you were going to spend in 2K18 and put it towards the Switch.
Yeah.
I guess so.
$50 may not get you too close to a Switch, but it's a start.
It'll almost get you a Joy-Con.
A Joy-Con?
That's what they call the controllers.
Ah, right. Yeah, I mean, it's always an option, I guess.
Or a case of beer, either way.
Yeah.
So that's about it for the news over the past month or so, I guess, since we went on hiatus. So I guess it's now time to talk about our week, or rather maybe our weeks, in basketball gaming.
Alley-oop! Oh, what a out of play. It looks simple, but it's hard to execute.
Our month in basketball gaming.
Our month in basketball gaming, yeah. And is this the untimely end of, well, not Thrill Ho, that was last year's team, of is this the untimely end of grind time, Ben?
I think it is. Like, I really don't see us going past 100 games this year.
No.
We're at 86 at the moment, and multiple times we're like, no, it's not there this year. It's just hasn't had that enjoyment. Just except for those small little rare moments, but still, yeah.
It's kind of coincidental that we're 86ing the mode after our 86th game, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's we had the first game of our most recent session was one of our best in a while, I think. We almost had it in regulation, but I'm gonna put my hand up on this one, Ben. Kenny, I had a chance to dribble it out and we would have got the win, but I wanted to pad my stats. And so I went for the layup and left a couple of seconds left, and they pushed into overtime with a three. So that's what I get for going for those terrible points and not those glorious assists. You know, I didn't stay in my lane. And look what it cost us the game. End up losing by one. Except we couldn't foul. We X and I were just desperately trying to intentionally foul at the end there, and they managed to dribble out the clock. And and there's frustrating moments like that where you're just like, well, we were doing everything right, and yet the game wasn't responding to what we had. And then we just had four more games that were just dreadful. And Zizi joined in. Leo, who was, you know, we hope he feels better soon, but he was ill and he didn't miss much, to be honest. He might have felt a bit even sicker if he'd gotten on and played with us. But
we don't know if we were feeling as sick as him or as worse as him.
We weren't feeling too healthy by the end of the night, to be honest. Yeah, and it's a shame because we played 500 games last year in 2K17, and even when we took a break and we're getting a bit sicker, but we ended up coming around and playing it again. So
yeah, we did have a second win with that game in that sense. And but yeah, this year, I know it's like the other night was our second win, and it was about as good as Homer's second win when he tries to run.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. So
two steps and done.
with that in mind, I don't really have any incentive to play my career, because the only reason I played my career was to build up my player for 2K Pro Am. So I guess that frees me up to do some more my league and my team.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I still wanted to get to a 92, so that way I don't have to do the gym stuff anymore, like the Gatorade gym stuff.
Yeah,
and I wanted to still see how effective that was, like, you know, whether you lose energy or turbo sort of stuff. I don't know. I haven't even been playing much of the actual my career element of it. I've only played, like, a couple of games. Like, I think if we're thinking for a whole month, I think maybe three or four games. And occasionally that was, like, I'd maybe go start a game, but maybe after 5 minutes, or I have to head out or something like that. So I didn't quite get to finish that game. And I want to go see, like, what was the case with the t-shirt creator. So I kind of had to finish that game.
Yep.
To have experience it. So, although I do know in one of those cases, I did end up having, what was it, like something like a 70-point triple-double game and all that stuff. So that was kind of worth it in that sort of sense, but.
See, I have had some fun. I had some fun on Christmas Eve, actually, playing. I watched the Bulls-Celtics game, which was actually played on the 23rd US time, and watched the Bulls lose badly, and then got my revenge on the virtual hardwood and played much better. So clearly the Bulls need to draft me. That's or pick me out of a streetball tournament. It's or at least my virtual self, anyway. So, I mean, I had some fun with it, but the other problem is my player is broken because the archetype is broken as far as being able to dunk. The tendencies are all off. I contacted 2K support. They were about as helpful as a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest. And yes, I'll be that blunt about it. I was not happy with their response. I had a Twitter tirade about it. Which you can follow me at Andrew at AndrewNLSC, and you'll see just exactly what I thought of that. I even on my court, I can dunk properly at one end, but at the other end, the far end of the court, it doesn't dunk properly. It does layups and layups into the bottom of the board, and like, and it's just broken. You can't. I was going to start a new player, but I just don't want to grind it. So, part of me wants to get to 90 overall if I can, but I'm actually having more fun building up my player in Live 18. So yeah, maybe it's time to put aside the My Career and play a bit of My League and My Team, which I are currently much more appealing to me than anything to do with My Career or its connected modes. Playground's been more fun than Pro-Am this year, I think.
Yeah, which is, you know, a bit of a surprise and that sort of element. You and I have started to get some wins in that, which has been good. And then I got to play with John the other day and when he was online, and it was funny watching people swarm around him because he had the 2K
logo.
Yeah. So, yeah, and everyone was trying to, like, send squad invites to him and stuff like that. So that's pretty entertaining. We got a couple of wins and a couple of losses, obviously. So, but yeah, it's kind of been fun in those elements. Still prefer the 3-on-3 as opposed to 2-on-2, with obviously the winners' possession stuff like that.
Yeah. Bit better with 3-versus-3. We did make a new friend on 3-versus-3. Sent you a message and kind of freaked you out because he sounded a lot like you.
Yeah, I found my voice doppelganger.
Yeah, voice ganger.
And that was kind of cool and kind of freaky at the same time. I made a friend in Live as well, who was like a good 3-point gunner as well, doing the live events. So that was pretty cool. We just went on a massive run playing the 3-on-3 with that. What else? Trying to think.
Well, the live events. I mean, we are actually getting more into some Live 18 now. Having played a lot of 2K and gotten a bit over the modes that we were enjoying so much and feeling so disappointed by them, we have been getting into some live. And Kenny, you hit me up last night to give online head-to-head a try.
Yeah, I thought it would be a good idea to try it against somebody who I actually knew and, you know, like and everything like that.
Sadly, you couldn't find anyone, so you went with me.
So, like, it was fine because I wasn't raging because of the cheese the other person was doing, like the off-ball defense and stuff like that. That stuff just annoys me. It was actually a lot of fun. And the lag online actually isn't as bad as it was. So I think they've actually improved that stability there.
Yeah.
At least it seemed that way because back when I played two other head-to-head games and I was unable to hit a jump shot because I just could not time the jump shot because of the lag. Whereas in this game, in the two games we played last night, I was able to get a few green releases and surprised me.
It's still kind of tough, but
yeah, it is a little bit, but you can kind of compensate for the lag a bit better. I won the first game, like the favorite teams, and then I decided to control the Atlanta Hawks, who are terrible. I have to put that out there. And I think you took the Boston Celtics, and you ended up getting the win there. And we both ended up with a trophy, so that was cool.
Yep.
I ended up with, I think, three other trophies as well outside of that in the last month. So I picked up Live for the first time, I think, in about a month, maybe just past the new year. And I went into Live Ultimate Team and I completed that second GM list by buying, I think it was Tiny Archibald on the auction house.
Oh, yes.
So he was rated 90 overall or more than that. So I was able to pick up that checklist item. And I got that PSN trophy. This morning, after you told me that you were able to get the one with the passing, the trophy when you complete every pass in a game, I attempted that again and I was able to get it. I tried the shooting one and I still haven't quite cracked that. And the last one I picked up was the one where you win a live event with five users. So I was pretty happy about that because that was going to annoy me across the year if I wasn't going to pick that up early. So, now I have no reason to go online and play with random people. So
that's right.
I'm very happy about that.
We'll need to give 3-on-3 a try. We were going to last night, but my connection dropped out and it was getting late, so I called it a night. And you'd already gone to bed as well, Kenny. So But we'll have to give some 3-on-3 in live run a go. That can be our replacement for Pro Am, and we'll see if X joins us if he ends up. Well, actually, X has picked up the game, hasn't he?
Yeah, you picked up the game. I think it was yesterday. So yeah, I think we'll be definitely doing a lot of that.
Oh, we'll get ZZ 5-on-5.
Yeah. That's some other things that I've been doing as well, is playing a lot more live as well during, because I was sort of thinking what else I'd done in 2K as well, but hadn't really touched too much in terms of obviously the other modes and that. So that's more in the new or this year kind of stuff. With the live event stuff, I've been playing a lot of that pretty much nearly every day. I think, you know, aside from a day here or there, it's been busy in that. Yeah, been enjoying those little moments, and it's good that they're kind of varied. Like sometimes they're 1st to 7, sometimes 1st to 11, and or 15 and stuff like that, or to 21 even. So, you know, it's good in that sense. And it's been cool. Like a couple of the teams are actually quite challenging. Like, they've added like even some like they've added the 2014 LeBron with the mask and all that stuff, and he's pretty hard to go against and all that stuff in terms of competition and that. So, you know, there's been some pretty cool challenges and they've been a little bit tougher in some ways, so you don't get the wins straight away. You kind of have to fight for those ones.
It's been good. I like the mix of it. Although they did mess up the jerseys, the team hoodies last night's game.
Yeah. Well, that's sort of been happening. Like, some of the... For few weeks and that, with some of the players wearing, you know, different teams hoodies and that, not game breaking, but yeah, I suppose, you know, for some people, you know, it'd be good to see them in their proper teams, you know, apparel and that sort of sense.
It was just funny to see Kevin Durant wear a different jersey, just like,
yeah.
Well, I guess that's his next chapter. So
yeah. What's funny is if it's back in like an OKC one as well.
Oh, that's what happened in my NBA 2K17. My career, he went back to OKC in the second season. I'm like, what the? yep. I don't know if that's Sim. That's probably not happening, and indeed it didn't. But no, I do like the live events. I'm still trying to find a good camera angle for them, because I'm currently running with the player lock one, but I'm not really... Playing off ball is kind of tough with that one, especially defensively, is defending off ball is kind of tough.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even like the sort of default sort of baseline one, I think, you know, especially when if you're playing in a wing scorer and all that stuff, or like a shooter at a 3-point line and that, and if they're in that the corners and that, they're a little bit hard to see, and you can't react until they're like basically come back in the camera shot in that sense. So that's something I'd like to see tuned in, fixed in that sense, but yeah, even playing like the league modes and stuff is like has been fun as well and refreshing. I think one small thing maybe like I've noticed, like if I get two quick fouls sort of thing, there's where it sort of subs you in and subs you out. It'll take you out for like a minute or so, and then it might throw you back in, and then maybe like another minute or two later, obviously depending on quarter lengths that you play, you know, you might get subbed out two or three times within that sort of same sort of quarter period. So I think
I've heard of that, yeah.
Maybe a bit of better balancing in the substitution sort of element. I think that's probably one of the sort of things that needs a little bit of tweaking there. But yeah, still enjoying the game and having some fun moments. When ZZ and I played the other night after that horrible program session, we did some 3-on-3, and he logged me up like pretty much all these alley-oops. I think out of the 20 points that I'd scored in this game, I think like 16 of them were from alley-oops from ZZ.
Well, that's a nice change from 2K18, where I can barely throw you a lob. But
yeah.
I got you one the other night.
Yeah. That was a pretty good one as well. But yeah, the fact that, because they had like shooters and stuff like that from memory, so you know they couldn't really defend too well, so they couldn't stop me in not having a big guy. So that was fun. And then the next game, ZZ got his sort of more slasher type player as well, and he had a bit more fun throwing down some some dunks and alley-oops as well.
ZZ's made some NBA Street Legends.
Yeah.
which is really good. Actually, did you guys see the pictures I posted? The screenshots?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a really good one of Kenny celebrating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I quite like that one. As far as like other NBA live players are concerned, I posted something on Facebook the other day of me in the Adam Morrison jersey, and quite a few of my friends thought that I looked just like him. So I was thinking of replicating Adam Morrison in NBA Live 18 with an alternate player. So, yes, yeah. See if they've got the hairstyle.
What kind of style would it be? What kind of play style would you call Adam, the great Adam Morrison?
I would say he was probably no bench warm. He would be, what would Adam Morrison be? He'd probably be outside scorer,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
away. Yeah.
From his Gonzaga,
it's kind of hard to say. Yeah, I'd say outside scorer, even though his shooting percentages weren't that great in the NBA. I would base him off Gonzaga. So.
Yep.
I mean, there are plenty of great college players that didn't make it in the NBA, so yeah, I'll do college Adam Morrison.
Works for me.
Makes sense. Yep. I'm looking at creating a second player, and I think, because I got like I think from memory it was like a slashing point guard.
Yep.
So I'm looking at maybe one that has a little bit more of a defense sort of element, in a lot of cases, like, especially going up against perimeter shooters and stuff like that. So, and, you know, a few times I get caught out, or maybe go big man, because a lot of habit is from real life is, you know, going and sort of doing like the 2-3 zone sort of thing, defense and that. So I kind of get caught out and occasionally on some shooters and that. So, yeah, it's still exciting, and I'll probably do it in a few weeks. I've maxed out the street element of what my current player can do, because, you know, you get to about level 50. Like 50 in terms of that side of things. So, I'm thinking maybe a second player. And again, one of the good things with live, all the stuff that you get rewarded from the badges, and all the, you know, things from the crates, and so the gear and shoes and stuff, you don't have to unlock again. So a lot of those badges and stuff, you can, if there's some good ones that you got, you can put them into your new player, and you don't have to rebuild entirely from scratch. So obviously there'd be some of the, or the traits, I should say, instead of badges, you know, that would be more specified for certain positions and that. So there might not be every single one you could use, but for the most part, there's probably most of them that you can use for players and that sort of thing. So that's, again, another good thing that Live does, and the progression system is a lot faster and not 400-500 hours worth or money orientated.
$400, yeah. As the Polygon article noted, you know, there's no pay to win, so which has made that mode a lot more balanced. Although I don't think I'll create a second player just yet. I did create one just to simply have the to get the trophy, because you don't get that when you create it in the demo, as you know. But I want to get my player to over 90 overall before I create a second one. But what I want to do this year is actually get into some ultimate team, because I'm looking at the guys in the forum talking about some of their squads, and ZZ's got an awesome squad, and Shinron and Q as well, Eric. They've just got some great retro squads. You know, they've got Alex English and Sean Kemp and Gary Payton and Dominic Wilkins, nice, which is a pretty OP card apparently. So yeah, I'm going to get back into Ultimate Team, because there's some pretty good challenges and cards that are coming out at the moment.
Nice.
So any other plans for 2018 Basketball Gaming? I mean, as I said, my league is always there in the back. My league and my team is what I'd thinking about as far as 2K. I'm thinking of putting aside my career in the connector modes, sadly, after all the fun I've had with it in the last 12 months. But that'd be my 2K, and yeah, some more, obviously some live events and online stuff with you guys, and live Ultimate Team as well.
Yeah, I think with regards to 2K, I'll probably still try and get my player to 92. So, you know, if we ever did, like, the, you know, give Pro-Am a dip again, you know, I could ensure that, you know, I don't have to constantly go to the Gatorade gym all the time. And, you know, I want to sort of see how fast a skateboard is. I kind of want to do that sort of race situation, you know, especially if you got to 90 and, you know, you get the bike and that.
That's,
we can
that's
sort of
true.
See.
I should get to 90 so I can get the bike and you can get the skateboard. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm close. I'm already a 91. I'm already like around 7%, or 6.5 to 7%, through the progress thing till I can unlock. Although, crap, I have a feeling that I'll probably need to do the progress thing twice. Like I'll unlock two more attribute upgrades, but I don't think those two more would get me to 92. So, crap. I'll see
what the grinding is. Whether they actually put two times XP, if they actually put that on a good day, maybe you can do it. So,
yeah. And maybe for an entire weekend and not a bad 24 hours.
Not Christmas Day or New Year's Eve when New Year's Day when other people are doing other things. So,
short-sighted. Yeah. One thing I'll say about that 2K, the two times rep thing, is it didn't actually upgrade the, like if you did a drill, it didn't actually technically upgrade, especially when you're trying to unlock a badge, it didn't upgrade two times the amount thing, so you didn't get two times closer to the to unlocking that badge and stuff. It just basically took the overall and then just doubled it to the actual progress bar.
Yeah, I've noticed
in that sense. Yeah, so that was disappointing in that sense. I was hoping to, you know, get a little bit closer to, you know, to getting the gold acrobat, and I think the Hall of Fame posterizer sort of badges and stuff, and those are the ones that I've been mainly grinding out the most in trying to get the early ones. I want to try at least to get that one to silver or bronze, but that one's just tricky because the drills aren't really great in terms of design for it, because you have like the CPU player that will just try and take shots or not even chuck up the alley-oop when you call for it kind of stuff. So,
right.
Yeah, I think that one in the team drill thing is, yeah, I think they could have done a couple of things different for that one to improve the actual ability to potentially unlock the actual badge itself. So, yeah.
Yeah, in that respect, I kind of prefer 2K17 where you could just unlock the badge and then you'd upgrade it and then try and get the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It's,
One
thing I, you know, we mentioned before that the drills, once you've got it, once you've maxed out a badge, if you've got it doing a drill where you're doing, where it'll normally go to two badges and it'll divide the XP amongst the badges, it's, even when there's only one badge left, you only get the partial XP for it, which makes the grind even worse. But something I do need to correct myself on from a previous show, we can actually do the drills for badges after maxing out the badge. There's just no more progress. So if you want to keep doing the free throw shooting drill, you can, just at the expense of getting any progress anywhere else.
Yeah. But, you know, I suppose it adds that element of practice in getting the timing and all that stuff.
That's the thing. So I didn't think you could do those drills, but once it ticks over, you can actually do them. So I do have to correct myself on that. And also,
I think I was the same boat, thinking that you couldn't do it either. So
yeah, excitingly, I got the talking fish. I got the Paul George fish as well. It finally fixed itself and put myself up on the myself up on the wall. So now that's annoying me every time I walk through. I just can't take that down at all.
The trick is
the long way around.
Further, yeah. Took the scenic route.
Yeah,
basically the neighborhood route.
So, what are your plans, Kenny, for the 2018 Basketball Gaming?
So, I'm going for a Platinum PSN trophy. I'm sitting at 73% so far, and I've got 6 more trophies to pick up.
Very nice.
4 of those are going to be in the 1, so I guess that's probably going to be a focus for a little while. But 2 others can be picked up, I guess, in play now modes or, you know, 5-on-5 ball, so I guess that's pretty much going to be my focus for, I guess, the rest of 2K, God, Live 18's life cycle. So, yeah, said 2K out of pure, like, habit there, but...
Well, at least you didn't stuff up like I did and insinuate that Live, there'll be no, that EA wouldn't be making an NBA Live, like I said, accidentally said earlier, when I was trying to talk about Saber and the Playgrounds.
And one other thing I'll throw out there is that I've been doing a little bit of tinkering, so I might be doing a little bit more modding this year for various games. We've got a few projects in the works, sort of trying to get my time, you know, when I can ever find the time to do some more tinkering. So, yeah, might see a few more mods from me this year. So
very good.
Good to get back into that. And, of course, enjoy doing my videos. I did my Kobe Bryant and NBA courtside video last year, which was, I've been wanting to cover that game for ages in Way Back Wednesday. So I finally got that to follow up on my Lakers versus Celtics, which I also enjoyed doing. It's just, you know, for as anyone who's made video content that isn't just talking over random footage can tell you, it's a 5-minute video can take a long time to do. You know, five to eight minute video once you're doing all the scripting and the capturing all the footage and putting it together. It's So I really admire video creators who can just pump them out. I guess they're not doing the other things I'm doing with the site and the articles and things, so they're just focusing on the videos, which makes it easier. But yeah, I definitely respect their work because it's can be quite time consuming to do a good production, which I'm hopefully getting better at.
Yeah. One thing I'm sort of been thinking about the last, we'll say about 3 or 4 days, is obviously that it's not looking like we're going to get to elite level with Pro-Am and that, so might have to look into communicating with a jersey patcher in 2K for in the community and that, and sort of see about what it takes to actually get our NLSC Pro-Am jersey in the actual game. So that might be like a mod that might have to collaborate with someone, because obviously not being familiar with patching for 2K and that, so well, personally in that, so yeah, might have to work with someone to sort of see how it's done, and or, you know, send them what they need to do it in a collaboration effort in that sort of sense. So
yeah, that'd be cool to put that out there.
Yeah, and you know, make that available for the community and to install into the game.
Definitely, so you can rebrand to the well, of course, you can put that out there for my league, for people who want to make the New York NLSCers or something like that for my league, my GM, since that's where our host is. But yes, well,
so hopefully be on the lookout for that. Like I say, I might look into that probably say end of this month, and then so that way I'll sort of, you know, I'll spend a few weeks having a look and sort of seeing who does some good jersey work, and you know, get some recommendations. If anyone listening to the podcast who does jersey patches and stuff like that, you know, if they want to get in contact with me, message me on the forums on Instagram, or not, well, yeah, possibly Instagram, but the Twitter as well, Arcane LSC. Is my handle and all that stuff. So yeah, approach me and we can sort of talk and sort of see what it will take to get these uniforms in the actual game. There's really about six, because I've done a few different colorways, and like I did like one that like a home and away for what I'd consider like our 20th anniversary and all that stuff. So yeah, there's some special colorways for that sort of instance and that and all up.
No, it'd definitely be cool. So if, yeah, like you say, if anyone wants to help out, is listening to the show, hit Ben up and we'll take it from there. So hopefully a pretty good few months coming up, guys, of basketball gaming until we start hearing about the new games, and then hopefully later this year more good news.
Fingers crossed.
So before we wrap up episode number 231 of the NLSC podcast, our first for 2018, just covering a little bit of NBA news, specifically some news about Australians in the NBA. Who'd have thought we'd be talking about Australians? You know, just consider yourself lucky we're not talking about the NBL, although that's going all right as well. for those of you who have a team, not so much for me. But a recent milestone, Kenny, that you drew our attention to, or a couple of milestones, actually, about Aussies and their scoring records.
So I'm trying to think back of what date this was, but apparently Australians combined for 25,000 points in the NBA.
It was about 2 or 3 days ago.
Yeah, was it a bit earlier than that, though?
I've got your tweet here, Kenny, 14th of December, or maybe 13th US time.
Oh, so okay. I think the one you were thinking about, Ben, was they combined for the most points in a single day. That was the one that came up a few days ago. But yeah, there was a tweet going around that had all the contributions, like the point contributions from all the players that Australia's had in the NBA. And there are a few in there that I completely forgot about, like Luke Schencher, who most recently I think played for the Adelaide 36ers maybe. He's like a 7'2" center that played in the NBL for quite a while and actually had a kind of a stint in, was it, I think he was in Portland and maybe in Chicago as well.
I remember him on the
I remember him in Chicago,
But yeah, he, there were a bunch of players like him and Mark Bradke as well had a brief stint in the NBA, and of course our much beloved Andrew Gaze as well was in there for a little while. Shane Hill, of course. I was going to say, I'm going to bring up the NBL because it does kind of relate to Andrew Gaze, but the last NBL game I went to, I was right in front of the Sydney Kings bench, and Andrew Gaze, he is one animated character.
It was funny. We were watching because I was at the game. Like, me, Will, and X were also at the game, and we met you there randomly. In that sense, and yeah, it was interesting because like Gaze is probably a bit under pressure, obviously, with how poorly the Kings have been performing in that, or underperforming, and
lost his former teammate as well. Some sad news there.
Yeah, it was pretty horrible. But I could hear like every expletive he said, and it was quite funny. I just can't help but love him because he's just wears his heart on his sleeve, and you know, I think that's pretty cool.
I'm not a big fan of Shane Heal, but I've always liked Andrew Gaze. Good name.
Yeah.
I still remember years ago when he was still playing and like Tigers were playing the Bullets, and like during warm-ups he actually threw down a couple of dunks, and he had about two or three opportunities in the actual game, and but he does a layup instead. Everyone was like, boot him and all that stuff. It's like, why would you do that? If you were doing the dunks, it was like, what the hell happened? What was it? Yeah.
Even Larry Bird dunked. I mean, come on now.
Well, a while ago, I sent you, Andrew, a highlight video of him dunking in a game, and he could actually get up, in his heyday. But yeah, I guess he wasn't the most prolific in-game dunker. Anyway, who was at the top of that list? I think it was, would it be Bogut? It probably was Bogut, wasn't it?
Probably would have been Bogut, Bogut and Longley, I guess.
And he just was about to get released by the Lakers, too.
Oh, is he getting waived?
He has been, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I think there was rumor about it yesterday, and I think it officially happened today.
I guess that kind of makes sense, because they've got... they've got Lopez, and maybe they're trying to give Zubats, I think his last name.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to give him some more minutes. So, yeah, that makes sense.
Bogut is the top with 7,070 as of back then. Longley, 4,667 is second. Paddy Mills is third at the time, 4,235. And he and Simmons had 26 apiece in the day the other day when they had combined when Australians combined for 86. So that was the first the first Australian players to lead their teams in scoring in the same game. Delvedova is fourth. Aaron Baines is fifth, and your good friend Jingles Kenny is sixth currently with over 1600.
And, Jingles.
Chris Anstey is top 10 with 813. So, and
that's kind of surprising. He only was in the league for about four seasons or something, wasn't he?
If that, yeah, two or three years.
If that, yeah.
David Anderson at ninth, 501. And, to put it in perspective, Ben Simmons is already 10th. In fact, actually, by now, since that was a month ago, he's probably now in the top 10, having surpassed David Anderson. So, yeah. And Thon Maker. Yeah, so, yeah, we're getting up there with the 25,000. Shane Heal, 103 points. So,
who was last on that list? I think it was
Mangkok Mathang. Mangkok Mathang.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I knew that it was somebody with a name I wouldn't be able to pronounce. So,
and Gaze 43. It's just weird that our greatest player is last on that list with the with the 43. Yeah. Best out 43.
Well, as of today, Simmons has 627 points.
So he's going to eclipse Anstey by the end of the season. Well, maybe even before the All-Star break, actually. So, yeah. But it's cool to see. You know, I think this is pretty much one of the best representations of Australians in the NBA at the moment. You know, I think as far as numbers and actually talent that we have, and Patty Mills obviously having that great Game 5 in the 2014 finals, etc. You know, yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool to see that our homegrown league is doing pretty well, and that we've got some great players becoming stars, or we're certainly having an impact in the NBA as well. And in Simmons' case, becoming a star.
Yeah, and also like players that have actually played in our National League that are now playing in the NBA, like obviously Torrey Craig, who's actually been starting for Denver, and Terrence Ferguson.
Mm.
You know, and Terrence Ferguson had a really good game against the Lakers the other day, and you know, had those, what was it, 26 points, and had like those two spectacular dunks. So yeah, it's good to see like even players who, you know, spent their time developing in our league and that doing well.
It's become a more of a legitimate stepping stone to the NBA, where back in the day, even our top players in the NBA would go over there and be lucky to get 10 minutes a game on average.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's good to see, and trying to watch a few more games this year. I watched the Celtics-Cavs game the other day, and yeah, you know, I still have my gripes, my grumpy old man gripes about some of the aspects of the modern NBA, but you know, I still love this game, even though that's not the the slogan anymore. So, what is the slogan? Is it still?
This is why we play.
This is why we play, right? Yeah, I still think I love this game is better.
Same.
Cool logo back in the day as well. So I guess that's brought us to the end of our first show of the new year. Good to be back on the air, guys.
Yeah, definitely.
And to have the three-man booth back as well.
Absolutely, and we'll keep trying to record the show and post it every week. We did 40 episodes last year. We missed a few due to technical issues and other things getting in the way. We hope that won't be an issue this that won't come up as much this year. We'll certainly do our best to bring you a show each and every week because we enjoy doing it so much. And if you enjoy listening to us, as we hope you do, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on the Stitcher app for Android and iOS devices, or keep streaming on the NLSC itself, of course. You can connect with us on social media. We're on Twitter, @TheNLSC. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/TheNLSC. We're on Instagram, starting to post a bit more there. That's where NLSC basketball there, because somebody else took the NLSC, apparently, so boo to them. You can connect with us there on social media. And, of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself throughout 2018, NBA-Live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And I'm Kenny.
And we're out like our enthusiasm for 2K Pro-Am.